show today, we have Credit Union League of Connecticut President and CEO Bruce Adams talking about how the league and their credit unions are responding to the coronavirus crisis. So check it out. Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have Mr. Bruce Adams, the Credit Union League of Connecticut's President and CEO, new President and CEO. Congratulations, Bruce.
Yeah, congratulations. To me, I guess it's been 6 months on the job, and you know, nothing like having a good long on ramp.
Yeah, nothing like a crisis to kind of get you into the swing of things, right?
That's right.
Oh boy.
Well, I tell you, there is a certain similarity though to what I used to do when I was in. I started out my political and public service career in the governor's office, and I worked as one of the line attorneys for the governor during Sandy Hook.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Yeah, we did Sandy Hook and the big, a lot of big snowstorms and weather events. And so, you know, I was responsible for a third of the executive branch and, as you might imagine, most of the money agencies. So, you know, dealing with issues of what do you do with a tidal wave of charitable donations, for instance, mm-hmm. is a massive thing, a project to handle.
I can imagine.
Or when you've got a weather event, how do you order all the trucks to get off the road or... You know, so I've been through some stuff like this, but this is different because it's so unpredictable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so, we don't know how long or uncertain the end of this virus will be. And so we can't begin to predict what the economic and financial impact will be.
Indeed. Yeah, I think that's the thing that kind of gets everybody is how long this will last, the uncertainty of it all. So I think that's what's really hanging people up right now. So let's get to the league here. So what are some of the actions that you guys are taking since this whole thing has happened?
Well, we really launched into a communications mode right from the beginning. And we've got an in-house compliance person. I'm an attorney by trade, and we've got an in-house advocacy person who all, and really our whole team, have come together to build a daily communication in which we push out interpretations of what's happening on the federal level, what's happening on the state level, what's happening on the regulatory level, and digesting it for people. Because when you've got executive orders, especially in our neck of the woods where you have a bunch of states close together,
yeah.
New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut have all decided to do a coordinated response. So we have to look at what New York does to interpret that so that we can advocate to have Connecticut do it right.
Gotcha.
And we have to digest all those things every day. So in addition to the interpretation and the advocacy work we do, we have to communicate it out.
Gotcha.
So we're doing that. We've done, then we're doing sort of consumer outreach and reminding people that, you know, if you're uncertain about your personal finances, come talk to a credit union. I mean, this is what we do best. It's what we do by design. And so it is incumbent on us as the league, I think, to get out there in front and tell people that a credit union is there for them,
right,
and ready to help. And then in addition to that, we've done internal communications with grouping by asset size our CEOs to have roundtable calls, so that we can help them ask the questions they need to ask, share the best practices they've developed, develop new products and services for their members. And so, you know, it's sort of a three-stage communications shop,
mm-hmm.
and it's not that.
Well, I think you hit the key word there was you're getting ahead of the curve or being proactive in all of this and not being reactive as best
right.
you can. I mean, we're all reactive to a certain point here, but like you said, getting out in front of this and getting the story out there and getting the message out there is so, so important. So how have these actions, how have they benefited credit unions throughout the state of Connecticut? Sounds like you guys are like really on top of it.
Yeah, I mean.
As best you can.
perhaps with every lost hour of sleep, somebody gets a little bit of benefit. I think one of the biggest benefits that our community is getting from this is coming together, and it's really soft, but it's just the bonding and the coming together,
yeah.
and really reaffirming and re-entrenching what it is we do and why we're here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that sense of affiliation has galvanized us as a group, which I think will pay dividends down the road.
No doubt.
But in terms of practical benefits, of course, bringing our, let's say, you know, $0 to $50 million group together, or, you know, our bigger group, the middle groups,
mm-hmm.
having them have the opportunity to say, in a safe place, how do I manage layoffs or furloughs? How do I rotate my, who's doing 1 week on, 1 week off?
Yeah.
What's your cleaning call? Not to mention all the typical stuff, like how do you offer a skip a payment program? How do you, you know, waive ATM fees for mm-hmm. some and not for others? You know, all those questions are up in the air. And one of the big advocacy related and questions that was being asked a few days ago was, A, are we going to be essential employees under these orders? And there was some risk that they, you know, that those orders would say banks
and not credit unions. Yeah. Right?
So we did a big advocacy push behind the scenes and got credit unions in the order.
Right on.
But then, okay, so what? Now we're essential. What happens when local law enforcement is enforcing this? And I say, oh, no problem, officer. I work at such and such credit union. So we did. We developed a letter, a template letter, you know, to be signed by the CEO, to be carried with your W-2 or your 1099 or, you know, indicia of employment mm-hmm. that references the executive orders so that they could at least, you know, hand over in the case they get pulled over.
Gotcha.
Here, credential. So that was a valuable thing, I think, to our group.
Yeah, I didn't even think of that. It's like getting, okay, now you're an essential, but what? How do you prove that you work at a credit union or you prove you work at a hospital or a doctor's office or something like that? So that's, oh my gosh, that's something that you just don't think of every day. But in this instance, you have to.
Yeah, you do. I mean, and you have to think about if your employees are coming in, even if they're on a rotating schedule, what's your cleaning protocol in between?
Mm-hmm.
Because you have some obligation to keep your employees safe.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. Have you been talking, this is just off the top of my head here, have you been talking to other leagues and associations about what they're doing, guys kind of brainstorming and exchanging ideas? Have you done any of that as well? I'm sure you have.
Yeah,
but
yeah, no, I'm glad you asked it too. We've got a coalition of Northeastern states league presidents that are in constant contact by email. And then, of course, you know, there's lead president, you know, calls and other communicator calls, you know, from the national organization, mm-hmm. et cetera. But right here close to home, we're all very much in contact with
good,
each other.
Good,
in fact, I'm going to tell them very soon, but I'll tell you, here's a scoop.
Oh, a scoop. Yay.
what we're in the process of doing, although we haven't done it yet, is building out resources to offer mental health counselors or other, you know, people, not only for our CEOs. And I should mention, we're providing all league resources to every credit union in the state, whether or not you're affiliated with us.
Right on. Good for you.
Just opened it right up. We're here for everybody. But we know that people are going to be cooped up in their house. They're going to be worried about, do I still have a job? Or the CEO is going to worry about laying people off or any number of different questions.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we feel like we should care for the credit unions, care for the whole person, and so should we.
Right.
So we're doing, we're trying to build out some therapeutic resources for people to access virtually.
Wow, very good. Wow, that is very different, but actually very, I mean, again, proactive, you know? So what a great idea. Can you share, I mean, you've probably heard stories what credit unions are doing out there. Do you have any, like a couple of anecdotes that you can share that really kind of stick out that you've heard in the last week or so?
Yeah, you know, one credit union decided to put together a small fund that was there for emergency needs for its members that upon a phone call, they would just transfer the money over and worry about repayment later. But it was just like short-term immediate cash. And I just thought that was so uniquely credit union-ish,
mm-hmm.
you know, to be able to just say, well, worry about the repayment,
right.
Take care of itself first.
Oh, love those stories. Love those stories. So how much have you guys had to improvise on this? Because, I mean, this is something that we really haven't, I mean, you were talking about at the top of the show, in your previous position, you've been through a few crises and emergencies and things like that, but nothing like this because of the unpredictability of it all. But so having said that, how much have you guys had to improvise or just kind of go off the template, so to speak, especially at this magnitude?
I mean, we're improvising every second of the day. But, you know, I think a better way of thinking about it and a good crisis management approach is that you start from nothing and you have to have conversations about both the content of what you're doing and the process.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be in a continuous improvement mentality. So You'd build time to check in to say, does this work? Can we do it better? And from the people that are getting the information from you. Yeah. We can't at the league pretend that this is just another Monday. It's not. And so we're all in this together, mm-hmm. and we'll figure out how to make every communication better and better and better as gotcha. We go.
Yeah, got it. Yeah, good point. And so, what were you going to add to that? Or
no, I was just going to say, I mean, being level-headed through the whole thing is, mm-hmm. frankly, I think really valuable for people who, you know, they have their own organization to run, and they're taking time out of their day to come and seek, you know, resource and leadership from the league. And the best thing we can do is just chunk through the jobs one by one, mm-hmm. and be as steady and even-keeled as possible, because I think that's what helps people get through yep. crises.
Indeed. Yeah, and I like your point that each step you take, you're going to get better and better and better. So, and having said that, so what lessons have you guys learned so far in this process? Because, I mean, obviously there's a lot of new stuff. So any yeah. lessons learned so far?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when we're out there communicating, doing consumer outreach or government outreach, those messages have to be a little different. So when we're telling the world all the great things that credit unions are doing without even being asked or told by the government, we need to be careful that, and we didn't learn it the hard way, but we learned it by, you know, getting some feedback, that we don't tell the world it, that in such a way that they can go expect it from every single credit union. Mm-hmm. So if somebody's offering a loan at a rate that somebody else can't match, we may create confusion in the marketplace, yeah. and maybe some hard feelings among our members.
Yeah, good point.
So we need to communicate to the world the credit union difference and how we're out there doing all of this great stuff in categorical ways. Mm-hmm. And we need to be able to say, you know, these are some things that are out there. Let us help you find a credit union for you.
Right on, right on. And so where do we go from here? I mean, is there any light at the end of the tunnel yet, or are we still kind of stuck in the woods here?
There's always light at the end of the tunnel.
Oh, I like that. I mean, okay.
Because otherwise it's not a tunnel, it's just a hole.
Yeah. True.
So can we see the light? Yeah, I think we can. I mean, I think what's happening now is we can all start to envision how the world is going to change. And again, we know it's going to change, but we don't know how.
Yeah.
But for instance, there will be new business models opening up. There will be for the credit unions that are doing business lending. Let's say one of their members has figured out a way to make a better hand sanitizer. Mm-hmm. Well, that may be a whole new, you know, product.
Yeah.
Or companies are going to be, or people are going to be doing more telecommuting. And so how do credit unions finally engage in the sort of digital transformation we've all been talking about? Mm-hmm. This may actually be the opportunity for our industry, especially the smaller members among us, to embrace things like payment by text and other non-cash or non-interactive, personally interactive ways of transacting that business. So where we go from here is we innovate. Is the way I see it.
Yep, and I think we do that pretty darn well. So, and yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of new stuff come out of this for sure. That's the silver lining here, at least from my perspective as well. So, good stuff. All right, Bruce. Well, I know you got a full plate, probably like more like a buffet on your desk there. So, anything else to wrap up here before I let you go?
No, except for this, and I've been doing it really in every interview, and I think it's important for all of us to caution. People, let me rephrase that. I'd like to have our people remind their people that there are payday alternative options. And think we need to be really careful as a culture, as a society, that when people get into a financial scrape, they don't run to the internet.
Yep.
And I think we have a great opportunity to serve our members and frankly recruit new members. Mm-hmm. With a sort of a payday alternative loan product. I mean, this is, people are in need, and you know, we're the financial first responders. You know, that's what we do
in
our front lines. So we got to be out there grabbing people.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up because right now is an opportune time to really grab those folks before they get stuck in that cycle, you know, that vicious cycle of payday lending.
Exactly.
So yeah, good point. Glad you brought that up. All right, sir. I'm going to let you get going, Bruce. Again, I know you got a lot on your plate, so we'll be respectful of your time, but I thank you so much for your time, and keep up the good work there in Connecticut and in the in New England, and just wishing and praying and hoping everybody's okay, and we'll get through this in one piece.
Thanks, you too.
All right. Take care.